time for a look at entertainment news that's happening this week. For that, we do go to Dr. Robert Thompson. He's the director of the Blyer Center for Television and Pop Culture at Syracuse University. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
It's been a while, actually, since I think we've spoken to you.
Yes, you guys have had a few other things on your mind.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the good news this morning is that that one other thing is significant, at least is 100% contained, the Kincade Fire, full containment as of yesterday. So that was that's good news on our end.
That is wonderful, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to start with this story, though, with you, the one with James Dean being cast in a drama called Finding Jack, despite the fact that he's been dead for over 60 years.
Yeah, he was. He died 4 years before I was born, and I am no youngster.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this isn't the first time we've resurrected dead people to perform. I remember back in the, what was it, probably 80s or 90s, Paul Abdul dancing with Gene Kelly and Groucho Marx in very convincing shots with them. So we've been doing this for a long time, and now CGI pretty soon is going to literally be able to, as in this case, resurrect the dead. But some of the quotes that come from the people that are making this are really kind of creepy. I'm reading one as quoted in the Hollywood Reporter. "We searched high and low for the perfect character to portray the role of Rogan," the character in the film, which has some extreme complex character arcs. "And after months of research, we decided on James Dean." Now, there are how many 6 billion people on this planet? 330
yes.
million odd in this country. The idea that this role is so complex and so unique and so complicated that only a dead person, James Dean, can play it strikes me as, for one thing, they are pretty full of themselves about how great this film is. But that was just kind of creepy. And then one more quote, and I'll shut up.
Okay.
They also, this is the agency that represents people. "This opens up a whole new opportunity for many of our clients who are no longer with us." So the idea that, oh, wow, all these people we represented who are dead, you know, it's going to be a golden age kind of thing.
Well, I can't wait for the resurrection of John Wayne.
Yeah, well, you know, they have. He has been, I think it was in commercials. I don't know that they've ever done it in any other venue, but he has actually been used to sell stuff long after his death, so they can do it with him.
Oh, I didn't even know that, so. Okay, well, that's one thing.
I forget what it was. I think it was an advertisement for something,
okay.
But anyway.
Well, me and Tom were just kind of joking along this. Should this really be a thing, or should Hollywood kind of rebel against it, I guess? Some actors have spoken against this, saying it's disrespectful, it's awful, and things like this. Where do you fall on it?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'd like to be able to, get really indignant on one side or the other. And on the surface, it is kind of, as I said before, kind of creepy. The other thing, the idea that if we get computer technology so good that we can begin to cast dead actors in roles, if anybody ought to be complaining about this, it ought to be the actors complaining. Because if you can bring back James Dean and Marilyn Monroe and anybody else that you want, it gets to the point that will CGI and actors have been worried about this. Will we be able to actually no longer need living people? We can either resurrect actors that did exist or make up actors that never did. On the other hand, I think in the end, no matter how good technology gets, a great performance has got to be done by a human being who is doing it.
Yeah.
And if this movie comes out and dead James Dean gets nominated for an Oscar, I will eat the boots that he wore in East of Eden. Actually, if I could afford to buy them on eBay, which I'm sure I couldn't.
Actually, now I'm thinking Oscar bait with this movie right now. I didn't even think of that. You know what? And you're right about the actors. They probably would be the ones that have the most to say about this, except for maybe one actor I can think of, Andy Serkis. So
yeah, well,
that'd be one.
And, And then, you know, I think about, but, okay, here would be the ultimate. If we do an animated show, animated movie, so the human being is not acting in the movie, and it's done by the computer-generated voice of a dead actor, then it's all over for actors. They may as well go back to waiting tables.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate there. Let's get off of this and into some brighter news, though. This weekend is the celebration of the 50th anniversary of Sesame Street. I can't believe it's been 50 years since Sesame Street has graced our television sets.
No, and, you know, this was an important show. For one thing, people could get it free. And it was aimed at an audience that may not be able to afford to do preschool and pre-K and all that kind of stuff. And it was so clever. It figured out back in the late 60s that if you can use fancy, quick-cutting music, pretty pictures to sell toothpaste and soft drinks, in 1969 you could still sell cigarettes on TV, then you should be able to use it to sell numbers and letters and how people can be nice to each other. And that's what Sesame Street did. It was this quick cutting, almost hallucinogenic sometimes with the animation and the ladybugs turning into ABCs and all that kind of thing. They used Madison Avenue techniques to educate. And they also, a dozen years before MTV, created the MTV style. All those kids that grew up as four-year-olds watching Sesame Street were ready as 16-year-olds in 1981 when MTV came out and had a very similar style. They, of course, weren't selling numbers. They were selling something entirely different.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. What do you think of Sesame Street, though, today, how it's evolved and just its general presentation for today's audience?
Well, I think Sesame Street is a lot like music, cartoons, and Saturday Night Live. You always think the one when you were coming of age was the best. I don't like Sesame Street as much as when I was watching it with my little sister when it first came out, but it's basically kept its integrity of structure and style and what it does. It, of course, isn't at the center of the culture as much anymore because Sesame Street used to be one of the only games in town for what it did. Once cable came out, we had so many other different kinds of children's programming, including children's programming with at least some semblance of an educational curriculum. But I still think Sesame Street is a jewel in the crown of American television. I hope it goes another half century.
That'd be great, and I hope they get another guest appearance from James Dean.
So. Yeah, well, who knows who could guest on that at this rate.
Robert, always a pleasure talking to you. We'll chat with you next week.
Can't wait. Thanks.
That is Robert Thompson. He's the director of the Bleier Center for Television and Pop Culture at Syracuse University.